This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So I want to welcome Tony and Joan. They not only have lots of children, they are also, much to my envy, grandparents. Tony has done tons of stuff. I could use up all of his speaking time telling you all about him, but he's a trained engineer, a social worker, as well as a theologian. Currently, he's the pastor, senior pastor at the New Testament Church of God in Leeds, and a bishop in that denomination. And we've known each other for a little while, but particularly over the last year, since the George Floyd murder, Tony's been really helpful to me in thinking that through, and as I struggled to understand what was happening, do you remember, 18 months ago in particular? And he's become a good friend over this season. And at that time, those of you who have been around over that time, you'll remember that I've been referring to Revelation 7, verse 9, which is a verse which repeats five times in Revelation about every tribe, nation, language, and people worshiping together. And I just felt God was challenging us and drawing us into, that was like a prophetic guiding light into drawing us into more diversity in the way we do church in lots of different ways. So Tony is an incredibly busy guy, and I'm really grateful to him for carving the time out of his demanding schedule just to come and be with us and minister to us this morning. So, Tony, would you come up and would you give him a warm Vineyard welcome? That's your microphone. I think it's switched on. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Tony. You're amongst friends here. I'm really grateful for you being with us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Tony and for Joan and for their ministry in Leeds and to me. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will fall on him as he speaks to us, that it may be dew and rain on our parched lands and on our hearts. May we feel and sense your rain falling. As he speaks, would you bring refreshment and understanding to us? Anoint him, we pray. Amen.
Over to you. Thank you so much, David, for the warm welcome, and to Alison and all my brothers and sisters here at Vineyard. I've come to you today not as a academic, because I'm not. I've come today not as a linguist, because I'm not. But I come to you as a brother in the Lord, because I am. I truly believe all of us who call on the name of the Lord are one in Christ. And if you believe that, will you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read two very short passages of Scripture. The first is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 10, and the second is one that I believe you have been looking at for some time from Revelations. Acts chapter 10, just reading from verse 34 to 36. And then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And the second text that I believe you've been looking at as a church from the book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Amen. Amen. I just want to thank you for this kind invitation to come and share with you in this Black History Month season. Even that term, Black History Month, is a loaded term, because you could quite easily argue, why not Chinese History Month or Indonesian History Month? You could quite argue that. But when you give a focus on Black History Month, what you're doing essentially is addressing the decades of negative stereotyping, and you're also recognizing the achievements of people of color in spite of them experiencing firsthand the scourge of racism and its adverse effects on a community. I believe that God expects us as followers of Jesus Christ to be carriers of the gospel of truth. I'm from a Pentecostal persuasion, so if you agree with anything I say, just let me know by just saying amen or something. So do you believe that? That God expects us to be carriers of the gospel of truth? Oh, yeah, I'm liking this. At the height of the transatlantic slave trade, a former bishop of Virginia, he made a statement, tried to keep things in place and maintain the status quo. And I was looking for that quote and I couldn't find the quote. So I dug up a report that I wrote back in 1993. So allow me just to read a section of it. According to the work of Edward Blyden, entitled Christianity and the Negro Race, the Right Reverend William Meade, the Bishop of the Diocese of Virginia, published in the latter part of the 19th century a book which contained a series of sermons, tracts, and dialogues. Bishop William recommended it for the use of masters and mistresses of slaves. And a segment on page 95 reads as follows. Some he has made masters and mistresses for taking care of their children and others that belong to them. Some he has made servants and slaves to assist and with the work of the masters and mistresses that provide for them. And some he had made ministers and teachers to instruct and the rest to show them what they ought to do and to put them in mind of their several duties. He goes on to say, Almighty God had been pleased to make you slaves here and to give you nothing but labor and poverty in this world, which you are obliged to submit to, as it is his will that it should be so. Your bodies are not your own, but at the disposal of those you belong to. However, my brothers and my sisters, as I read the text that's from Acts chapter 10, I see that God, the Bible says, is no respecter of persons. We see there how he dealt with Peter, who was considered the chief apostles. I know that you know the story. You see, Peter had what we can describe as some racist tendencies. And you might say, well, give me scripture for that. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because if you turn to the epistle to the Galatians and the second chapter, verse 11 and 12, you see an instance there where Peter was happy to be among those who were different than himself. He was happy to sit down, have a meal, and have fellowship with them. These were the Gentiles. But soon as his friends, the Jews, came, he separated himself to the extent that he had to be rebuked by the Apostle Paul. The theologians tell us, well, maybe it had nothing to do with racism at all. Maybe it had to do with the fact that he was eating forbidden food. Well, when I look at the text now in Acts chapter 10, that disputes that fact. You know the story where God dealt with Peter. He gives him a vision on the rooftop in Joppa. And he spreads before him this sheet, and on the sheet was many different kinds of foods, and he gives him an instruction. He tells him to eat. You know, I do like food. That would be an instruction that I wouldn't hesitate to obey. But we see Peter now, he has a dialogue with God, and he tells him, I'm not going to eat that, because that I've not even touched since I've been a youth. Those things are unclean. And then we get the crux of the matter when God tells him, how dare you call something unclean when I call it clean? So it wasn't talking about food. He was talking about people. Hallelujah. Right on that vision, God had to strip Peter of any baggage of racism that he had and let him know that in the economy of God, in the kingdom of God, there are no second-class citizens. Praise the Lord, my sister. Praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul taught the believers in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 following. He says, for all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you has been baptized into Christ. And I'm so pleased to hear this is Baptism Sunday. That all of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Out of every tribe, nation, and language and people, we are all one in Christ Jesus. God makes no distinction. We are one. Why don't you pretend that you are Pentecostal just for a moment and turn to your neighbor and just repeat after the pastor and say, we are one. We are one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are one in Christ Jesus. You know, several years ago, I had a colleague, 20-odd years ago, I had a colleague, and he was made a pastor of a black majority church. That's a church that's been, a label that's been put on church like mine. He wasn't from my denomination, but another similar denomination. And right near to his church was what we call a mainline denomination church. I won't tell you what denomination it is, but you are familiar with it. And he decided that on a particular Sunday, he was going to go and introduce himself. So he walks to the church, and at the church doors was the greeters. And instead of welcoming him in, they said to that pastor, oh, they stopped him like they were bouncers. They stopped him at the church door and said, you've come to the wrong place. And your church is down the road, round the corner. Do you know that thing really discouraged that pastor for many, many years? Sometimes we make the mistake of not realizing that we are one in Christ Jesus. Beloved ones, in the kingdom of God, there is no black church or white church. There is only the church of Jesus Christ. You know, my particular denomination, if you were to look it across the UK, a lot of the members come from the Caribbean island of Jamaica. My own particular local church has 31 nationalities within it. And I'm so glad that you couldn't describe us as a Jamaican church or a Nigerian church or a... what's another country? Kenyan church. Help me out. I'm looking to my wife to help me out here. You know, our Angolan church. You know, you couldn't describe us as that because we have all of those countries within our church. You could only describe us as a church. And I believe that's the picture God wants of the churches. To have all people of all nations and all languages in there because we are one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the same church where the Apostle Peter made the confession that we find in Matthew chapter 16. You remember the story when they were at the coast of Philippi. And Jesus asked them the question, whom the men say that I am? And we know how Peter, he just, you know, impetuous Peter, he came up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this is what Jesus said to him. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I've come to realize, beloved ones, that the church of Jesus Christ, if we can get this in our spirit, that we are one in Christ, that persecution can come our way, but the church will prevail in the name of Jesus. Opposition will come and challenges will come from all kinds of directions. Even racism can come, but the church will prevail. Oh, come on, praise the Lord, someone. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Even racism cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are one in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, but we have to be honest. We haven't always got it right. Sometimes we have made mistakes. I remember a fellow minister, he was a white minister, but a brother that I loved. He went on his, after 40 years of ministry, he went on her sabbatical. And he decided to go back to his original church, the one that he first pastored. He was a mainline denomination pastor. And he talked to some of the Caribbean folk in that church and he asked them what their experience was like when they first came to church. And he was shocked to hear some of the terrible things they shared. They said, when we first came, at the end of the service, nobody wanted to share the peace with us. People would just turn away. And those that did talk to us were asking us all kinds of strange questions. They wanted to know if they rubbed it, would the color come off? They told the story of some folk keep looking behind them. And when they said, why, what are you looking behind me for? They were looking to see if they had a tail. And this brother said to me, I'm going to write this up in a report following my sabbatical. And I said to him, if you do that, you'll never be promoted. And that was a prophetic word. He was never promoted. Sometimes we make mistakes. But I'm here to tell you that God wants unity in the body of Christ. Can I get an amen from somebody? But unity will not happen organically. It will only happen intentionally. What does that mean? That means you have to do something. It means you have to step, you have to be prepared to step out of your comfort zone to make unity happen. Are you willing to do that? I'm so glad from my discussions with David that you're on that journey, and I know that God will bless you. I know God will bless you because you are prepared to have that discussion. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Out of every tribe, every nation, every language, every people, God calls his people together. And in closing, can I tell you this, what I've noticed in my own church, where I say we have 31 different nationalities, I've come to notice that that diversity is what makes us strong. That diversity is what makes us healthy. But to, what I've had to do as the pastor, I've had to be creative to make sure that our leadership is fully represented of all those different nationalities. So that it's not a Jamaican thing. It's not a Nigerian thing or Angolan thing. It's just a Jesus thing. And I want to leave that with you. That if you let the Spirit of God be the one that will lead you, you will always get it right. And it's not going to be without some pain and struggle, but sometimes we have to unlearn things. But most of all, we have to be honest and transparent. I leave you with this. Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in St. John chapter 17, as he prays, he does a number of prayers there. But then he prays for the believers. He prays for you and I. He looks down the corridor of time and saw the day was coming that we would belong to him and that we would call him Lord. And this is what he says to the Father, that we will be one as he and the Father is one. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. A wise pastor once said to me, because from my tradition, you don't really get folk getting involved in ecumenical things, and he did, and I wondered why. And he said, you see, down here, we're like when you go into a shop and they sell lots of bottles of drinks, they have labels on it. And that's what's important, is the label that's on it. But when you get to heaven, it's as if the bottles have been transferred to heaven and they've taken all the labels off. Because what is important isn't the label. What's important is the contents within the bottle. And I want you to know, beloved ones, that if we have called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we have accepted him as our personal Savior, what's important is what's on the inside, not on the outside. We are one in Christ Jesus. Amen. Will you stand to your feet as we come together for prayer? Hallelujah. Thank you, David, for this opportunity, and thank you for Alison and John coming to share with us. But before we continue, I wonder if there is anyone who's going to be like me and say to the Lord, I've not always got it right. Sometimes I've made mistakes. But I'm willing, Lord, to put it all on your altar now. And recognize that we are one in Christ. If you don't mind, just bowing your heads and at this time, and so we don't have anyone looking around. But if that's you who's saying, yeah, you know, I'll be honest, I've made mistakes sometimes, but but I want to make a change. If that's you, just put your hand up and put it down again. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. The Lord sees your hand, and he sees your willingness to invite him to come and bring about that change. So I'm going to say the first prayer, and then maybe David and Alison will carry on. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Your word that declares that regardless of our background, regardless of our gender, our ability, you have called us to be one in Christ. And Father, sometimes we have made mistakes and we have fallen short. But Lord, we come to you today and we ask in the name of Jesus, help us to be who you would have us to be, one in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, making no distinction, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed all of us from our unrighteousness. So bless us now, Lord, as we seek to live the life that you would have us do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
In connection to that, I was looking at that no entry sign on the back of the chair down there. I just sensed that we have no entry signs over our hearts with regard to this, and so just to carry on with the prayer that Tony did, if you just stay in that place before Jesus, my sense was that we need to take that no entry sign off our hearts. That's for us to do. So, Lord, won't you come? Lord, may we just may this be a moment where we open our hearts and we remove whatever it is that's caused us to have a no entry sign. Or may we remove that sign and just to give you permission to come and change our hearts. And I sense that he wants to do a deep work in our hearts. We can't do this being the church, as Tony has portrayed, without you doing a deep work. We don't want superficial tokenism to it. So, Lord, we remove those signs intentionally and we invite you in to change our hearts.
What's impressed upon my heart is trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in him. He's the one that's going to make the changes. He's the one that will lead and guide and direct if we only put our complete trust in him. So, Father, we ask that you increase our trust this morning, that you touch each and every one of us. For change cannot come unless you bring change and you lead and you guide and direct our thoughts, our hearts, our minds, our attitudes, everything that we have, we place into your hands. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We're going to carry on praying here, but we're going to say goodbye to the guys online. Thank you for joining us this morning. God bless you wherever you are and wherever you're watching.